You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Tuesday, September 6th, and we're talking Reds baseball, as always, with our Reds guru, Mark Sheldon. Not just a reporter, a guru. Mark, I've upgraded you, so you're welcome.
I appreciate it. I like guru status. Thank you.
I've always liked that word, you know, so I try to throw it in there when I can. But, Mark, when we last spoke, the Reds were coming off a pretty miserable road trip against two of the bottom feeders in baseball, those being the Diamondbacks and the Angels. Six-game stretch, you kind of look at it and say, we got to at least break even. Not the case. They go 1-5. But a nice little rebound for the team upon returning home. This past weekend, they do take 2-3 from the Cardinals, a Cardinals team right in the thick of the NL playoff chase. And I know that, you know, fans and media make kind of a big deal this time of year, talking about teams playing spoiler when facing other teams chasing playoff spots. Is that a real thing, I guess, in the Reds clubhouse, something that they can hang their hat on? Because, you know, I guess in these last few weeks of the season, you're clearly not going to be a part of the playoff party. You need something to kind of hang your hat on.
Look, certainly. I mean, they're chasing as many wins as they can get in general, but if they can get a few wins and ruin some other people's days while they're doing it, that's even better for them. It just so happens that the rest of their schedule, with the exception of the Brewers, is all against all contenders. They have, right now they're doing the Mets, they have the Pirates, they have the Cardinals, they have the Cubs. Obviously the Cubs are pretty secure where they are, but the Pirates and the Cardinals especially, and the Mets for that matter, are really not assured of an October baseball fall schedule. So, they want to get some things done. They're also trying to improve their own stats and everything. As Dusty Baker kind of called it, as a salary drive, guys that are going for those kind of numbers that can improve their salaries for next season, whether it be arbitration or contract in incentives or whatnot. They're all part of the big thing that goes on this last month.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, like you said, beyond the W's and the L's, so a lot to play for still. And like you said, the schedule for the Reds is conducive towards, getting the blood pumping. When you look at the teams on that schedule, you know, first the Pirates, then the Cardinals, and now the Mets currently, as they play the second of three games tonight on this Tuesday at Great American Ballpark. And, Mark, backtracking again back to this past weekend, Friday night, the walk-off win, Eugenio Suarez against one of baseball's best in the bullpen in Son Juan Oh, the Cardinals closer. But that was a nice moment, obviously, for the Reds and for Suarez. My biggest takeaway from that game, though, had to come in the pitching sequence, if you will. You know, Di Sclafani for 7, he was great. Inning apiece from Michael Lorenzen and Raisel Iglesias. And, you know, sometimes when you're a struggling team and you dream of better days ahead, you get a game like this and you look at the box score, and again, you know, you got Disco, Lorenzen, Iglesias, boom, 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 you get a win. Are those the kind of games that a fan can look at, you check out the box score and say, you know what, when this thing does get turned around, that is exactly the blueprint we're going to follow every fifth day or something like that?
Well, in a nutshell, that's one of the reasons why the team is better in the second half. They've been much better, and those three players being added around June really is kind of the catalyst of what's helped things out. They've been able to, you know, Desclafani being able to be counted on for 6 to 7, sometimes obviously 8 or even a complete game since he's been back, has really kind of stabilized the rotation and taken a lot of the burden off the bullpen. But when Iglesias is available, he's been great. And when Lorenzen's been able to go in, he's been great. And it's given them some options. Now when they have a lead, they can hold a lead a little better. And now those are kind of settled roles, for if you will. If the Reds are leading, it's going to be probably two of those three guys. It'll be Lorenzen, Iglesias, and then possibly Tony Cingrani. And the other guys will probably come in when they're trailing. So it's kind of helped things out a little bit. And that's definitely something for the team to look forward to going into next season.
And we've seen the importance in recent years, especially of not only bullpen guys performing well, but bullpen guys having defined clear roles. And it seems like, you know, like you said, it's going to be two of those three guys in the mix on given nights where the team is winning, you know, either Lorenzen or Iglesias or Cingrani or some mixture of those three. And that's been a winning formula for the Reds here in the second half. Mark, speaking of Michael Lorenzen, the Roberto Clemente Award nominees were announced today on this Tuesday, one from each of the 30 major league teams. That nominee for the Reds is Michael Lorenzen. Kind of give us a rundown of what he does off the field to help the community and to help the fan base and the reasons why he was the Reds nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award.
Actually, it's kind of an interesting thing is that during the winter he was doing a Christian fellowship mission with baseball in Puerto Rico, and he spent a lot of time with the Clemente family, and he was so moved by his experience of having dinners with them and being in their home that with Todd Frazier no longer on the Reds, Lorenzen requested to change his number to 21, and it was granted, and he's been wearing 21 this season and from now on to honor Roberto Clemente. He's just been in a short time here, just involved in the community. He does a lot of things with the Reds Community Fund. He makes visits to Children's Hospital here in Cincinnati, Rookie Success League, which is also part of the Reds Community Fund, and he's always at the Make-A-Wish stuff, and he's just one of those guys that likes to kind of not just be a baseball player that is focused on getting outs and throwing strikes and improving his craft on the field, but he also feels like an obligation to kind of get back and be part of the community off of it. So he seems like in a short amount of time a deserving nominee.
And that's a great story. I didn't even realize he had actually spent time with the family of Roberto Clemente this past off season. And, you know, it sounds trite and cliche, but in this case, it really, truly is, an honor to be nominated for something like this because it's so incredibly difficult to win when you've got 30 deserving players from 30 different major league clubs. Michael Lorenzen has as good a shot as anybody, obviously, but to be the Reds representative for such a prestigious award really speaks volumes to what he's done for this team. Hats off to him and the best of luck to him as that winner is going to be announced during the 2016 World Series. And Mark, getting back to stories on the field, another kind of feel-good story in addition to Michael Lorenzen, Hernan Iribarren, who I practiced that pronunciation for a couple days, and I think I nailed it. 32 years old. first major league start since June 15th of 2008, a span of over 2,500 days. And he played on Sunday, went 1-for-4. And I know you've certainly covered your fair share of stories over the years with guys who have toiled in the minor leagues for many years. They finally get their shot. But when it comes to Iribarren, I would think that this goes above and beyond just a guy who's, had kind of a tough road to get to the major leagues. I mean, some of the obstacles he faced are really daunting, and I believe he said in some post-game comments there was a lot of tears have been shed over the years thinking he'd never make it. He got the call-up Sunday, and it's a story that's, if it doesn't warm your heart, check your pulse,
Yeah, it's a nice story. You always kind of like to see that. That's what makes baseball kind of an interesting sport. You don't see this as much in the other sports, and a nice little sub note for that is that just yesterday he found out he was the winner of the International League batting title. He batted 327 for Louisville this season. So as he said just today, it's been a long road for him. There was times he didn't think he was going to make it. He was even offered coaching opportunities, but he always turned them down because he really wanted to try to give it one more shot to play. Him and his wife talked about it. He wasn't sure if he was going to even get called up this season, being obviously not a prospect and possibly not even in the plans for the team next year. He doesn't know yet. Usually sometimes September call-ups aren't just for deserving people. It's for also for top prospects and whatnot. So, it's a good story. He can play a lot of positions, and he's going to get a chance to help out while he's here, and he's going to enjoy every second of it.
Yeah, I bet he will with the road that he's traveled to get to this point, certainly. And you mentioned, Mark, the September call-ups. Iribarren, one of those, obviously. Robert Stevenson, another. Even though the Reds lost to the Mets on Monday night, Stevenson was terrific. He had some control issues his first stint with the team, but he struck out 9 Mets on Monday, believe walked only 1. So he was terrific, but there are some guys that I think fans were expecting to be with the team right now from the September call-up perspective, and they're not. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, the three names that really stand out for fans, especially that were really looking forward maybe to seeing was Jesse Winker, number 3 prospect, Amir Garrett, the number 2 prospect, a pitcher, and Dilson Herrera, the second baseman who was acquired in the Jay Bruce trade from the Mets. None of those guys got called up. In the cases of, Garrett, it was less surprising only because he's had a half a year at AAA, and it would have been a little bit of a rush to get him up here. Maybe not as many innings for him to work. But in the case of Winker, who's got a 40-man spot to take in the offseason so they can protect him from the Rule 5 draft, I kind of thought he would still be up here, and I was just talking to Dick Williams, the GM, a little while ago, and he basically said it came down to opportunity and health situations. With the opportunity, there's really, they don't want to bring guys like that up here, him or Herrera, and then have nowhere for them to play right now. The Reds are pretty set in the corner outfield spots for Winker and the infield for Herrera. But also, they've both been dealing with injuries. Winker missed a month with a wrist injury, and even though he played really well and hit over 300, he didn't have much power. And Herrera slept on his shoulder funny on a team bus and missed a few days and kind of been battling with soreness. It's not serious, but it kind of affected his throwing. And I guess the decision by the organization was made is just to let them go home early and rest and get ready for next season.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing sometimes this time of year with who gets called up and who does not, because there's more to it than, well, you're putting up good numbers in the minors, you're deserving. There are a few more elements as you outlined there. And, Mark, to wrap up here, you know, you mentioned Dilson Herrera, the acquisition, and the Jay Bruce trade. Obviously, Jay Bruce back in Cincinnati, kind of a strange sight, him in a non-Reds uniform wearing the blue and orange of the Mets. Talk about his return, the reception for him, and his emotions about coming back to Cincy.
It was a good reception, and the Reds, I have to give it to them. They did a very classy tribute on the field for him. They had his wife, Hannah, and his baby boy, Carter, out on the field with him, and they were able to watch this pretty cool video that kind of showed Jay Bruce from the day he signed as an 18-year-old with braces when he was drafted in the first round in 2005 all the way to the present, and included his great home run, his iconic home run to clinch the NL Central Division as a walk-off in 2010, and it was very cool to watch. And then on the field after that, the front office of the team presented him with a $5,000 check to his charity golf tournament back in Texas, which was a cool move, and he was just received well. He went 0-for-4 in the game. It wasn't to be as far as making a heroic splash, but he just said it felt weird. He came to the park. He lives in Cincinnati, where he still has his home in Cincinnati, and he slept in his own bed for the first time since the trade, and he drove himself to the park. And then for the first time ever, instead of going into the home clubhouse, he walked into the visitors' clubhouse. He had never set foot in that other clubhouse here at this ballpark before. So that was a new experience, and that's where it got a little different for him. But, he appreciated his time was here. He grew up here. He said he became a man and a family man here. So it's a lot of good memories of Cincinnati. He'll never forget it. He's kind of trying to warm up with the Mets and get better. He knows he hasn't been off to a good start, but he enjoys his new teammates. He enjoys playing for the Mets. He's still getting used to the pace of New York, but he's working on it.
Yeah, I think we're all still getting used to the pace of New York. For those of us that have been here a couple of years, that goes without saying. But high marks all the way around, class personified by not just Jay Bruce, but by the Reds organization. Well done on their behalf, of course, as well. Mark, good place to wrap this one up. We'll do it again at this time next week. Mark Sheldon joining us, our Reds reporter. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.